I remember that the revelation that's moving in this hour was beautifully confirmed by something we did not too long ago. And that is when we went up to the Carolinas just before we had the Mexico meeting. I've never seen any of Brother Branham's films, or never had till this particular time. And when I went up there, I got to one part of the Carolinas, and they was wanting to show me a film. And over at Brother Bob Pickles, and I said, well, what is this film? And he said, oh, so this is the deep, called it to the deep. So I didn't get to see it. So I went on up to Hendersonville, and Brother Woodruff said, you got to see this film. He said, I've got it. Said, you can have it just all by yourself. Just, and right there in the home, nobody but my wife and I, and Bobby Woodruff showing it, we saw Brother Branham's film, The Deep, Calls Into the Deep. And it was a wonderful confirmation of what we believe. And I praise God tonight because there is something real. And I'd like to say this before we try to exhort a little. And of course, it makes it hard to talk over the blower back there. But I want you to keep it nice and comfortable because I can put this up close to my mouth like this. I want to say again, I'm glad to see everybody here this morning. Glad to see them gathered together to hear the what teachings that we've got here. And as I was going to say, the thing that causes people to miss God in this last move, this is what I understand. The thing that causes people to miss God in this last move is that they fail to see that this last move is a spiritual move. But this is a spiritual move. It's not God moving, that is, with the veil, but this is God where he's been unveiled and he's moving out of the veil, and you don't see him. You don't see him. Now, that's a little bit confusing, but maybe we can bring it out as we understand it. But in this last dispensational move, which we call the Protestant Age, it is the move of the Spirit. There was a move of the Father back in the time of Israel in the church in the wilderness. And that was a move of the Son beginning at Calvary and going through the Dark Age. And then there is a move of the Holy Ghost in this age. And to the Protestants, God is always the Holy Ghost God, the invisible God. Paul said, the endued as seeing him who is invisible. And what God does is invisible. And it has to be manifested by the act of faith. And so then God moving in this age, people don't see it because it is an invisible thing. But now to the other two ages, it wasn't invisible. It wasn't invisible. It was literally manifested to Israel back there as a natural nation. When Joshua made the sun to stand still, the natural sun, when the natural hailstones came down out of a natural heaven and a natural water to a natural Red Sea opened up and a natural river Jordan rolled back and those kind of things, it was a natural thing. It was a natural thing. And God, the Father, manifested himself, as we so often teach, naturally, physically, and spiritually, back there to Israel, and he went into a natural thing. And everything that he did, as we have pointed out in a number of our meetings, everything that he did was in the natural. It was the God, was God the Father's age, God the Father's moving through Moses back there. And everything that he did was a natural doing. It was a natural doing. For instance, he worked miracles in the natural by causing the natural sun to stand still over Gibeon. And causing the natural moon to stand still in the valley of Ajalon, and causing the Red Sea to roll back, and causing the waters of Jordan to roll back, and causing the natural earth to open up and swallow up the people, and cause the natural hailstones to be cast out of heaven over at the Battle of Gibeon, to where God naturally fought for Israel. He had a natural nation, a natural kingdom, natural laws of ceremonial laws and moral laws and civil laws back there in the Commonwealth of Israel when it was set up back there in the wilderness. Now, God did all these things. But then when we came to the next dispensation, which was the physical dispensation, God began to work miracles in the physical. He began to restore arms and restore blind eyes and restore deaf ears and make the lame to walk and resurrect the dead. And he kept dealing in the physical realms of salvation and doing something for the physical being of a person. And then this went on for a long time. And then when the Protestant age came in, God began to do things in the spiritual. He began to have great revivals, great spiritual revivals, like the gatherings of Billy Graham, where thousands of people come together and spiritually surrender their heart to God by faith. And Brother Branham, sometimes as high as 175,000 or several hundred thousand people coming together and meeting multiplied thousands surrendering to God. And Brother Roberts, and looked like most anybody at that time would just jump out with a tent when the Spirit was moving. And great spiritual miracles and masses would take place. And then, of course, not only that, but God began to move in a revelation. He began to move in a revelation. That is an invisible miracle, a spiritual thing, dealing with the human spirit rather than with the human body, or rather than dealing with what we refer to as the soma. And then he dealt with the natural in the natural. He dealt with the physical in the physical, and then he dealt with the spiritual, man's angel, in the third dispensation of his thing. Amen. Now, the thing that's confusing in the teaching of the revelation is that the last two dimensions of the types are one and the same. That is, this and this is identically the same. We've tried our best to say this over and over, because this is so confusing when you try to lay down a formulated thought pattern that you might work by. See, the last two dimensions are one and the same. But God, knowing that many people, would never get over into the millennium, He wanted them to see the fullness of what He was doing, so He gave us a symbol or type and a shadow. Paul called them allegories. Paul spoke of Abraham and the wives back there being symbols and types. And God, being a spirit, has always spoke through a proverbial means, or everything that He's ever done being, as John 4:24 said, the invisible God, and Paul referred to it as the invisible God, or God being a spirit, things always work that way. Now, so these last two dimensions here are one and the same. You follow me? One and the same. These are one and the same. Now, we break them down into three dimensions, first dimension, second dimension, third dimension, but these two dimensions are really one and the same. I say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, over here is the Jewish dimension. We use it as the Jew age. We formulated an expression as Jew, Catholic, and Gentile, or Jew, Catholic, or Protestant, rather. Three religious things, Jew, Catholic, and Protestant. Well, really, the Catholic age is the Gentile age, for the Bible said all the world shall wonder after the Catholic Church. So that's the Gentile part of it. And the other part is the Jew, which is body and spirit. But really, it's not body and spirit, because the spiritual part is in the thousand years millennium. So then we say, again, we repeat this, 2,000 years from the days of Adam over to Noah. And really, not to know, it comes down to Abraham before the 2,000 really expires. And then that is considered the water age, or the water world, or the water witness, because God, in that dispensation, does natural miracles working in the realms of the water world. What He does is in the water world, liking Himself unto the Father, and in the world of vegetation, water being the life of the vegetation, then God in the world of vegetation, He worked back there in the natural world, or to what we call the church in the wilderness, the natural church, the natural kingdom. God worked miracles in the natural. That's called the water witness. From Adam over to Noah, it's accounted for. That's 2,000 years. 2,000 years from Adam until Noah. Then the next 2,000 years is a blood age. A blood age. The next 2,000 years is a blood age. And the blood age, in this, God works miracles in the physical dimension. And it's 2,000 years over to Calvary. And they always shedding blood, offering blood upon the altar. And finally,
The end of it wasn't a human sacrifice. That was a finishing touch. And the end of Noah's great water world was a great deluge for 40 days and nights. And then the third dispensational part of it is from the Protestant age, there where it starts with the protesting of Martin Luther when he nailed his thesis on the door and defied the Roman Catholic Church. And from that point, it comes on down as a, I mean, it's about 1500 back there, just right after Columbus had discovered America. And then, of course, in this age, we call it the angelic age in its type because it is religion. Like we say here, we say one of them is a political or governmental age, and one of them is we say the first one's agricultural age, and the next one a political age, and the next one is a religious age. So we do this to get a formulated thought pattern. Are you following me what I'm saying here? So the last age is 2,000 years. 2,000 years accounted for from the time of Jesus over to the coming of the rapture of the church. Now it's 2,000, 2,000, and 2,000, and that is a type, and that makes 6,000, and man's number is 6. So God completes his work with mankind. He worked in 6 days, rested on the seventh, and each one of those 1,000 years, as you know, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years with God. So it completes his symbolic labor with mankind in projecting the Spirit and in his creation. But what I'm trying to get across is that these last two ages are really one and the same age. It's the Catholic age or the Gentile age. So then the Protestant age is no more than the Gentile age. And of course, if God in the second age worked miracles in the physical, he's still working miracles in the physical right now. Blind eyes, deaf ears, and all these things he's still doing. But that is not the greatness of God to do that. That's not the greatness. The greatness of God is to give us the mind of God. That's the greatness of God, because it's the mind of God that restores blind eyes and stops deaf ears, that create the world, that create the diamond mines, that create the rubies. And nothing, Solomon said, is to be compared with that. And so then, that's the greatness of God, was to reach the angel here. You remember, we go back to the natural with Jacob's labor, and Jacob's labor was for Rachel, but he had to take Leah according to the laws of the land. Now, you pick up the cons, and your labor certainly isn't to gather a bunch of shells, is it? But the laws of nature says that you got to have a shell before you can have the goody on the inside. So then it had to be that way. And we've got to get an intellectual thing, which God certainly doesn't. He really don't want us to have that. He rather wouldn't have that. But the tree of knowledge had to be put into effect that there would be a natural beast-like fellow that would be symbolic of that hard operation. And so then, God had to do this. He had to do that. That is, he had to put it in the veil. Like we teach, we got it on tape here somewhere in the illustrations of the family tree in our age, of how that Brother Branham's message went into the veil of the voice of healing, and how it branched out in Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne, different ones, and so forth. Well, now then, what I'm saying is God put it all in the veil in the garden. It all went in the veil. Then, when it went in the veil, he got down his first Calvary, and he just rent the veil wide open. He took it out of the veil. Isn't that right? All right, now, but to be able to understand what I'm saying, it's a little complicated to express it, to try to condense it, when it should take about 10 years. So, what I'm saying here is these two ages right here, these two ages are one and the same. Now, it just took a little while to do this, about 6,000 years. That's all it took to do it. So you know how hard it is to teach it in 30 minutes. So you see right here, these two ages are one and the same. One and the same, these two ages. Now, so it's a 2,000, 2,000, and 2,000. But that's just a type, because it's really 4,000 in this first age, which is all the way from Adam until the coming of Jesus. Now, I say this again, we've said it many times, but God deals with the Jews in the number 4. Is that right? With the Gentiles in the number 2. With the church in the number 1. Now, let's see if that's true. Brother Taylor put this down the other night, and I didn't get a chance to really go through it here. Now, this is to keep us from getting confused. Remember, many people won't be in the millennium. Therefore, God uses the 2,000, 2,000, 2,000 to give us a tithe. But now, when we really come down to it, it's really a 4,000 from Adam to Calvary, 2,000 from Jesus to the rapture of the church, and 1,000 from the rapture of the church to the coming of the great white throne of judgment, which is after the millennium. All right, now, God dealing with Israel in the water witness, the water world, working miracles in the natural. That is the natural earth, the natural heaven, the natural stars. All right, in this dispensation of 4,000 years, God used the number 4. He kept the church in the wilderness 40 years, which is the number 4. He let this thing run on to Calvary, where the Jews was driven out of their homeland in 70 A.D. when Titus came in and plowed the city like a field, like that it was said that it would be done by the prophet. Then that went 4,000 years, which is the number 4 again, because the number 4 indicates judgment. All right, then, and the judgment is always on the body. It's always on the beast part, and Israel represents the body of the beast part. Jesus represented the beast, was made like unto the serpent in the wilderness, because the serpent indicates sin. But it was for the purpose of swallowing up the serpent. So then 4,000 years right here, and then 40 years he dealt with them, 4,000 years he dealt with them, and everything you find is really pertaining to Israel usually comes out in the fours. Now, but when you get to the Gentiles, I remind you again, the Gentiles always want two. That's their number, it's two. Two children, a boy and a girl, they don't want a single one more, just two. A boy and a girl, that's the Gentiles. They want two homes. They want one where they want it, and another one wherever they'd like to go. That is one to live in, one to frolic in, a little bungalow. And then the next thing that they want is two cars, and that's a limousine to be like the banker uptown to take the long trips in, and the little doodlebug, as they call it, to run around and save money. They want everybody to think, you know, that they're a millionaire, but when it comes down to affording it, they'd rather put the gas in the doodlebug. So that's really where they're living. That's the Gentiles. Everything is two with the Gentiles. All right, now, and they love to lead two lives. That's right. Man, he wants to live two lives, you know. He wants to be a good husband, but he wants to be a man about town, too, when he gets a chance. Same way with the lady. She wants to do the same thing. And the children would love to do the same thing. So the number two, it looks like it just kind of gets a hold of them. Now, but the number, and of course, God gives them 2,000 years from Calvary to the coming of the rapture. Here he gives it to him, and that is the blood witness. So you see, we got 2,000 years as a type of the blood witness from Noah over to Adam, but when it comes right down to it, the real blood witness really begins with Jesus and comes over to the catching away of the church. Now, it's only in a type in the first 2,000 years because they just offered up beast, but it gets to be the brute beast. It gets to be wars. It gets to be doctors, you know, where they work with the blood. Day after day, this last 2,000 years, everything's with the blood. The life is in the blood. And all they do is work with the blood. It's kind of continually a shot in the blood or the spilling of blood in wars and whatever it might be. And it will end in fire because fire is a symbol of blood. So then we come to the last stage, and this is what I say, and I believe this, the way the church world gets mixed up and where I always got mixed up till the Holy Ghost showed me different, where they get mixed up, they think that after this 6,000 years that the world is over. But it isn't over. They say 6,000 years, blood pipe, that's it, the end of the world. No, that's not right. It's the end of man because his number is 6. It's the end of God dealing with mankind. But the world isn't over. It's just coming to the best part. Then the next move is the number 7 because God deals in sevens. 7 spirits, 7 church ages right here in Monroe, 7 governors, and so forth. So then we see that God deals in the number of sevens. And how many remember Samson's locks? It's all symbolic. We bring it out sometime on the tape. All right. So then there is 1,000 years more to come from somewhere. That 1,000 years is the 1,000 years millennium. That's what it is. Now, you say, Brother Pank, don't you believe that the 1,000 years millennium is going to be on the new earth? I certainly do not, because the Bible don't teach it. It definitely will not be on the new earth. The 1,000 years millennium will be on this earth right here. It's this earth. Now you say, well, what's going to happen? Nothing. Except that God's going to come and catch away a bride just before the tribulation. And Brother Steve, we're going to go up there and stay with him several years. And then after that, we're going to come back down here after the reign of the Antichrist is over, Brother Tom, and follow him on white horses and have the battle of Armageddon. And then when that thing is over, then we just, somebody said, well, then what's going to happen? We're just going to go right on living on this earth. That's right. Though we ourselves will be celestial, and we'll have access to heaven, the city of New Jerusalem, and all these other things, well, the rest of them will have to wait 1,000 years. Because it appears from all that we can see that the Jews are going to still be terrestrial. Though they be sealed, and they may be celestial, but it appears that they'll be terrestrial, because the Bible said they'll build houses, they'll plant, they'll plow, they'll sit under their own vineyard, and they'll go on with their own government, and whereas they rejected God, and God made them the tail when he promised in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and so forth. Back there said, I'll make you the head and not the tail if you keep these laws. They rejected him, and God made them the tail. But according to the scriptures, they're going to come back to God, keep his covenant, and then when they keep his covenant, he's going to make them the head of the nations, and they're going to rule the nation with a rod of iron. That's right. Now, I believe this with all my heart. But the same earth will be 1,000 years, and then that's the end of this world. But until then, we still got another 1,000 years. Now you say, Brother Pike, well, what is he going to do with that 1,000 years? I believe anybody will confess that though the church ages start with Pentecost and rainbow themselves over as a covenant over to the rapture of the church, yet you got to admit that the church never has had an age. When has the church ever had an age? It's the church ages of persecution. It's the church ages of travail. It's the church ages of pilgrimage. But where did they ever have any real government where they ruled the earth and where they were the preeminent? They never have. But there's got to be one. God never has restored back what Adam lost. And he promised to restore it, which is the millennium. When the curse is, somebody said, now, Brother Pike, don't you believe it? God's going to make a new earth? No, sir, I certainly do not. Now we say, the Bible said, behold, to make all things new. I believe that's coming. I believe that's coming, but not in the millennium. And you say, well, what will the millennium be? The restored earth. It'll be the restored earth. Now you might say, well, what do you mean by that? I don't believe it would have to do anything. When God lifts the curse, it'll turn back into a garden. That's all. That's all that's keeping it from being a garden right now, Brother Gerald, is the curse. And the thing that's got man by the time is the curse on him. And yet Jesus, the Bible said, everyone that hangeth upon a tree, cursing is he. And where is he hung upon a tree? To become a curse for us, to lift us out from under the curse of sin and sickness and sorrow and oppression and poverty and death and all of these things, that we might abundantly prosper and be in health and be blessed. I don't mean like some of the evangelists teach it to work it up in some concoction, you know, where they take everything you got and somebody spoke about packs and different things, and I've been not sent the way they said it. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that, folks, we're not under the curse. Amen. We don't have to be like that. I know the world is under the curse, and I know the people are under the curse, and I know that even bringing children into the world, the woman's under the curse, but not the Christian woman. Amen. If she has enough faith, it won't be nothing. That's why the twilight shots is here to symbolize it. So you understand what I'm trying to say? That was the end of it. That was the end of it. You say, well, Brother Pike, who's going to bear the curse? Israel, through the tribulation, because they're a symbol of the body, where we're a symbol of Christ's spirit. And here the body and the spirit were separated right here. So the male part, which is the body, always goes to the sorrow. That's right. And the inner part of it, which of course to us is the bride part of it that escapes, they don't go through anything. Now, but when you reverse it, then the body is the woman part of it, the travail part of it, that has to go through the travail to bring forth the children. And the male part is the spirit of it, which is Christ, going back to God. The man child being caught up to the throne of God according to Revelation. Now, so then they're not under the curse. Is that clear? Now, getting just a little bit off of the major theme of my thought, but I wanted to clear that up. Now, Israel will be made the head of the nations. When the curse is lifted, there'll be a new earth. We teach a natural heaven, a natural earth, a physical earth, or rather a natural earth, physical earth, and a spiritual earth. We teach a natural heaven, physical heaven, and a spiritual heaven. Now somebody said, well, where is the spiritual earth? The spiritual earth is after the millennium. John said after the millennium that Satan will be loosed from his prison for a little season. He will come up on the breast of the earth, go about to gather together the nations of Gog and Magog, who is as the sands of the sea in number. Then they'll come against the city of Jerusalem. And then when they come against it, fire comes down out of heaven and destroys the earth and everything. And John said about that time he looked, and here come the great white throne of judgment. He said, from whom the earth fled away. The earth fled away. He said there was no more earth. He said it fled away. No more mountains. No more sea. No more nothing. He said it fled away. Then the great white throne of judgment was the only existent thing. The veil came off. The type, the shadow, the symbol, the tangible, verbal part of it fell off and went away. It couldn't be found, because when the light comes, the shadows run away. So it couldn't be found. It was the eternal day coming back in. See, so the eternal day lingered until the coming of the millennium, or the coming of the great white throne of judgment. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. During the millennium, the graves are still going to be in the earth. How many of you believe that that's true? The graves will absolutely still be here, just like the graveyards are out yonder. Not only that, but the sailors that was buried in the sea, everybody that was buried in the earth, all except those who come forth in the first resurrection for the bride, for the rest of the dead live not again until the second resurrection comes in. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the lake of fire, the second death, hath no power. All right, now, according to the Bible, after the millennium comes the great white throne of judgment. Is that right? All right, then in the millennium there are still graves. There is still the ocean and the sea, because John said when the throne of judgment came that it wasn't found anymore, the sea wasn't. So the dead is still in the sea, and the sea is still here, because John said at this time the sea gave up its dead. All the graves give up their dead. So that proves that the graveyards are still here. Our people are still in the earth. Not only that, but in there is where we're going to tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet. Because this place is going to be bummed over here. I believe that with all my heart. We're going to tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet. Now, what I'm saying is, after the great white throne of the judgment, then, brothers and sisters in Christ, according to what I understand, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And he said there was no more sea. There won't be any ocean over there. There won't, because an ocean is a type. It's a type. It won't be that natural earth like you see now, because it's a type. Paul said there's a natural body, a spiritual body. There is a terrestrial, there is a celestial. I'd say that it's going to be a different thing altogether, a new thing. Behold, I create all things new. That's going to be a new thing. You say, but Brother Pike, it couldn't be new. You say, now the Bible said one generation comes, another goes, and the earth remains forever. I know that. It does. I know that. But I believe what the Bible said. He said, there will be a new earth and a new heaven. And I say, well, Brother Pike, ain't we going to be the same person, yet we're going to be a new creature in Christ? That's true, but we're going to be a celestial creature in Christ. That's going to be a celestial earth. That's going to be a celestial heaven. We're going to be a celestial being. So what good would a terrestrial earth be to a celestial creature? Now, in the millennium, it will be a terrestrial earth that will be restored, because the Jews are going to be terrestrial, according to what I understand, to plant. And they're going to raise food out there. And the Bible said everybody that won't worship the way God says worship won't be eating nothing out there. That's right, they won't get no rain on the crops. If they don't come up to Jerusalem, they won't. Well, it's going to rule with a rod of iron. It's not going to be, who'll go to church this morning, let whosoever will. There'll be a law of the land, just like we've got the natural laws of the land now in this physical age. It's really physical, intellectual laws of the land. Israel had the natural laws back there of the agricultural age. But this physical, political age of laws that we got now, it says you have to do this and you have to do that, and if you don't do it, they'll put you in jail. But in the millennium is going to be the spiritual law. And whatever the Jew says, well, that's going to be it. You're going to, it's going to be too bad for you, that's all. All right, now, there's a lot of questions arising in your minds on that, and a lot of questions would have to be answered, and we would have to do what we could and answer them. But if we did that, we would never get no further. I said all of that to get to say this, that everything is going through a symbol, a type, and a shadow, even to the great back throne of judgment, even to the passing away of the earth, everything that we can't possibly go into in just a few hours, a few days, or a few weeks. But the thing I want to get over is these last two ages are one and the same. They are one and the same, so it's really the Catholic age. We got natural Babylon. How many of you know that? Back there in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, natural Babylon back there. Then we've got physical Babylon, which held up in a great world empire in the Dark Age, where the Catholics ruled. It was Babylon. Now, a lot of folks have heard of spiritual Babylon. That was part of the spiritual Babylon. Now, where is spiritual Babylon in this last age, which brings it into America? Now, you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that America is this great Babylon? It's the third dimensional projecting of it? Let me prove to you that it's Babylon. The United States is nothing more than a cesspool of iniquity. When our forefathers come over here, it wasn't Babylon. They came from Babylon. And they established this. We knew where we was going. We knew what we was doing. We knew the laws that were set up. The people was the government. They was the government. Isn't that right?
Right, amen.
But now look what we got. We got a little bit of Jew religion. We got a little bit of Catholic religion. A little bit of Pentecostal religion. We got a little bit of the Mohammedan religion. We got a little bit of this and a little bit of that in government. We got Mohammedan government. We've got Confucius government. We got every kind of thing over here. It's just a jumble up mess. Nobody don't even know what the law stands for anymore. Brother Steve contained the other day while we was over there in the law office. What happened while we were sitting there? He accepted his lawful rights and the lawyer jumped up, got mad and put him under $1,000 bond because he took the rights that the justice of the peace just gave him. Now to me that's confusion. Even the justice of the peace didn't know enough about the law to set the lawyer down. Now we didn't have enough control for him to tell the lawyer that you did that out of a fit of temper and this is a man's lawful rights. That's confusion to me. That's Babylon. The great Babylon. Over here in this area. And the Bible said a desolation came in 1 hour, which according to what I understand is going to be when the atom bomb is hurled right over here in the book of Revelation, when it said a third part of the trees went down, a third part of the stars went down, and a third part of the river, and all these other things that begin to happen. If this is a third dispensational act of God, then this third dispensational act is going to feel the wrath of God and going to pass away. That justice civilization by the great deluge and the trouble of Palestine drove it over here to the west the same way that from the west the great gold rush or the western world, the great gold rush pulled it from the eastern part of the western world to the western part of the western world. The same way that the trouble over here in the western part of the world will drive it back over to the eastern part. And I say this again. In the eastern part, it is the male aspect of government. With the Jews, it always symbolizes the man because Jesus was the man. And when it gets to the western world, the west always symbolizes the woman. The woman is in lieu because the church is ruling over the word of God rather than the word ruling over the church. But when the Jews are in power, the word rules over the church. Now, the physical dimension, which is the Catholic, is only a symbol. It's the veil that everything goes in. The first dimension over here, then the second dimension, which is the twilight dimension. Darkness and twilight, and then in the evening time, there's light. Now, a lot of times we use this expression. Brother Adler, he develops films when he's running literature, and it goes to a negative state. So we say we take the picture running through a negative with the fluids and processes of the blood of the martyrs and so forth in the dark room of the dark age, and then come out with a perfect image which is raptured away in the coming age or in the day that we're living in. So then, the western aspect is where Jesus is going to rule. He's going to set up his kingdom over yonder in that age, which is the Jewish age. Now watch and see if it doesn't come to pass. Because that's the male aspect. And the long dresses that were shown us in the vision is a symbol that the bride is almost ready, herself ready to be caught out of this world. As a matter of fact, Revelation said she's made herself ready to be caught out. This is a symbol of her being fully clothed, as I saw it in the vision, in the three-dimensional step as it was shown to me in the vision. The rapture of the church is at hand. Even the revealed knowledge of God shows that death has been swallowed up in victory. This is the victory that overcome the world, even your faith. And it was translated by faith. Now, if the Jewish aspect is the male aspect, then that means that whereas the woman has ruled in the Western world, then to go back to the Jewish aspect puts the man in rule. That's why we say so many times that Brother Branham's followers was a type of the Jew. They really got it mixed up. They thought that there was the bride, but there was a symbol of the Jew. Because they believe in ruling over the woman. They believe that the woman ought to be under subjection. That's absolutely the Jew. Now, you say, but Pike, what are you trying to say? Who was the leader of Israel? Moses. Who did Moses lead? He led the Jews. The church in the wilderness. I believe it can very well be said that those people have gone into a wilderness since the Moses of God left them. I believe that and can't find their way out of it and are dying. The serpents of everything is devouring. Yet they're God's chosen people. I believe it with all my heart. Now, but there was something else. There was still a move of God. Now, I'm not saying this contrary to what they believe, because we got Brother Moore back here, and I don't know just exactly what he believes about. I know he's open-hearted and open-minded. He'll judge whatever you say, whether he believes or not. But I say this, that it is commonly believed that Brother Branham will be resurrected in a natural body. This, of course, I don't believe. I don't believe that he ever will. Because according to what I understand in Revelation, there will be another move of God. That will be the same move of God, just exactly like Joshua came in and took the children out of the wilderness and took them over into the Canaan land. Now the teaching that we had, that we've had on the board illustrated and had on tape, we showed exactly according to what we understood. How that Brother Branham on Sunset Mountain, and how that out in Tucson, Arizona, which is a wilderness, because Jesus was in a wilderness of mountains, not trees, was in a wilderness. And right there in the wilderness is where God took Brother Branham and left a little group of followers right in the desert that didn't know where to go. And even Billy Paul, so help me, God told me this. I went to Tucson, Arizona, and I said, Billy, please tell me something. I said, I want to hear it from you since you've left in charge of the followers. I said, did Brother Branham tell them anything at all that could get them out of here? Anything at all that could bring them on to the finishing product? He said, Brother Pike said he didn't tell them nothing. He said, I don't even know what to do. Now, he told me that, so help me God. He said, I myself don't know what to do. That's right. Now, Billy has done as good as he could do. And I think he's done a wonderful job in what he had to do with. I really believe that. And Brother Branham gone. Now, but what I'm saying is this. Now, we predicted that he would come out of the desert at a certain time, that his ministry would be over. We predicted his death when the angel of God appeared to us in Florida. Now, but what I'm trying to say is that was the end of the move of God. Now, a lot of people say, Brother Pike, it couldn't have been the end of it, because if it was the end of it, why did the tapes continue on? A man's ministry always continues on. But that doesn't mean God's moving in it. It means God moved in the man. But when the man died, God stopped moving in the man. But his ministry and the effects of it went on till it ran its course for God. But God took up back there. And there was something else. Brother Lamar and I were speaking of it today. There was something else. And he said, well, what was then? That was a Joseph move. He said, Brother Pike, what is this that's coming up now? It's a Joseph move. This Joseph move, the ones that's rejected by the brethren. Most everyone, including Brother Lamar that's here today, is rejected by the brethren. Almost every one of them that's here. is rejected by the brethren. Is that right?
Amen.
It's men that are rejected by the denominational brethren. And not only that, but their own ranks reject them. It's a Joseph Moon. And yet, before God, God's going to give them enough bread to feed the world. That's right. Enough spiritual bread that'll feed the whole world. He said, but they'll never come to it. They'll come to it. I'm alone in a word of truth in it. They'll come to it just as sure as I stand here with this in my hand. They'll come to it. And if there ever was a thus saith the Lord, that's thus saith the Lord. They'll come to it. And he said, well, I'll just wait and see. I've always said this. The best way in the world to find out is wait and see if it happens. If it doesn't happen, then you know I'm a liar. But if it does happen, then you know I spoke with the Spirit of truth. All right, now. So I'm not afraid for it to be put to the test. Now, what I'm saying is Brother Branham left them. He left them. When that cloud came down off of the mountain or out of heaven, came and got it in the yearbook right now. I've seen it. Scientists can't explain it. When it come down over Brother Branham as a crown of righteousness that the bride hath made herself ready. And whether it's coincidental or ever how you would figure it, Brother Branham had not been long preached the great message of marriage and divorce, and the people took it wrong. I told Brother J.T. Parnell, I said, Brother J.T. Parnell, I said, they should know that Brother Branham is a prophet. He's not speaking to individuals. Somebody said, but he spoke to individuals. I know that he addressed individuals. Moses addressed individuals. He addressed individuals. But he was speaking to the world and to the church. But he has to, just like Jesus addressed individuals. But you break it down and see what he was saying. Now he said, well, now what do you mean? God was divorcing a corrupt world and a corrupt system, just like he said concerning Israel. I've given her a writing of divorcement. Because of the hardness of her heart, God put her away. Put her away. It wasn't so from the beginning because we belong to God. God created us. He said that the ox knoweth its owner, knoweth its crib. But my people don't even consider, he said, that they belong to me. That they're mine, the sheep of my pasture. They just do like they want to, God said. Now, but what I'm trying to say is that God brought that thing right down perfectly. Then when we predicted that Brother Billy Powell would leave the desert, go back to Jeffersonville, Indiana, and that would end the cycle of Revelation and the Joseph move would come up. They did it. We predicted that Brother Ernie Carell would come out of the desert and publish a little article from up yonder in Cincinnati that's always saying, praise the Lord, my brother, the sounding of the trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise. And the type he was carrying, I said, he'll come out of the desert. When we got out there to Tucson, Arizona, he was packing up and ready to pull off. And I said, where are you going? So I'm leaving the desert. He left the desert, but before he left the desert, he went to a little place of drawing right over near where the spoken word was. I've been there. And he went there and he got them to print him up a little capstone messenger of sound the trumpet. Then Billy and his mother came out of the desert just exactly like we said. We said Ernie will come out and he will cross over the Mississippi River, which has a great symbol. The word Mississippi means fathers of great waters. And at this time, we had spoke about him making the moon landing. Making the moon landing. Which, of course, was sometime, what was it, July the 20th or something like that in 1969. Somewhere along there. And around 70, we said they'll make the moon landing. And exactly the way that God showed it, when Brother Ernie Carell was ready to come out of the desert, we was over there and they made the shot at the moon and landed on the moon. The first time man had ever walked on it. And they took the flag out of this world. Yes, I can't see that, Brother Pike. Yes, sir, God divorced the world. And that flag was a symbol of old glory. And glory that came down from heaven. Came down from heaven. As it came from the other world over yonder. We call it the old world. Came over the sea. When it came over and discovered America. And that woman fixed the flag and all. That glory was taken away, and Ichabod was rolled over the door, and the glory went back to God who gave it. Amen. And it's up on the moon right now, and it's symbol of types and shadows. Now, there's a lot could be said about that. A lot could be said. But I'm just speaking symbolically here. I have a few things in connection with the departure of Brother Branham. Then we said that that thing would actually have to do with Brother Junior Jackson. And I know there's a lot of things that we'd have to say, a lot of things concerning Caroline and Brother Bill Padares and them at the tabernacle. We spoke about would come to pass and how it would work, and it did. Also in Wilsonville, North Carolina, where he said the gathering would be up there. And then it would be over and gone, which it is right now. And Brother Bobby, I tell you, he really needs God. He needs help. Now, but what I'm saying is that everything came to pass right down the line, step by step, just like the Lord showed that it would. And Junior Jackson was picked up, took up yonder in the Carolinas. We predicted that it would move eastward, and it did move eastward, and I understand that Junior Jackson prophesied it would move eastward. He went up there, and they highlighted Brother Junior Jackson, raised him up, and a great thing was taking place up there. They went on 85 televisions, I believe it was. He started putting out 250,000 magazines when he wasn't already doing nothing. Or something like that. I might have it wrong. There was a great number of magazines. And I got it wrong. It wasn't 85 television stations. 85 radio stations and about 7 television stations. I believe that's the way it was. Now, we predicted it would just go up just like that. And it did go up. And Junior Jackson was highlighted. Then we predicted it would come down just like that. And it did come down. They dropped down to about 25,000 magazines, come off all the television stations, and I don't even know where they're on any radio stations now. We predicted that Brother Holman Brown would leave and go to, we didn't predict where he'd go to, but he would leave. And he did leave, just exactly like we said. He left, and everything just went down, 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 till even Brother David Allen told me the last time I was up there, said, I'm leaving the place, Brother Pike. And the things came to pass the way that we had told Brother David Allen that they would come to pass, and David saw it. Now, it's not speaking against Brother Bill Padares nor anybody else. I don't mean that. God just moves and does what he wants to. And I said, Brother Bobby was all upset. I said, Brother Bobby, when the gathering together of this thing comes, it will be at Hendersonville, North Carolina. Bobby couldn't hardly believe it. He said, George, I'm up here and ain't nobody up here. Said, the brethren don't even come to visit me, and here I am all by myself. And the church went dead, and they had to close the doors on it because they rejected the truth. We went out there, went in the church by ourselves, got down on our face and prayed to God and said, God, put the Spirit back in the church, start the church in motion again, and today it's in motion again. They opened it up. It's in motion. And they had one of the meetings over there at that church. They had the gathering together just like the Lord showed it would be. Brother Jack Palmer was up there, Brother Bobby Wells and others that was up there, and I also got a chance to go up there. Now, but what I'm saying, folks, we got a 1, 2, 3. We say Jew, Catholic, and Protestant. We got a 1, 2, 3. It's a little hard to do this because I'm trying to bring up the back end of it and still bring a present-day truth down where the Spirit's moving, and it causes it to get a little jumbled up to where it's hard to explain it, trying to switch from one to another. But what I'm trying to say is we got a 1, 2, 3, a Jew, Catholic, and a Protestant. We got a Jew, Catholic, and a Protestant. Now, from Israel over to America by the way of Italy, we'll say. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. The pilgrimage of Paul. 1, 2, 3. Of course, America wasn't discovered at that time, but as quick as it was discovered, Paul's mission continued right on to get a bride for the Gentiles. The revelation, that is. Brother Branham bringing it right on. Now, what I'm saying, though, is this. But in every dimensional part, 1, 2, 3 of this dimension, in every dimensional part, there is a 1, 2, 3 in that same dimension. Like we say in the Protestant dimension, it's the spiritual dimension. So the spiritual dimension for the activity of God is broke down the eastern part of the United States where the pilgrims landed Plymouth Rock, coming in the natural pilgrimage over, then reversing out of the veil and going back in a religious pilgrimage. Like Brother Branham brought it over the first great hurdle, or they just brought it out there to the Rocky Mountains, which is considered one of the great boundary lines. And then the next great boundary line is the Mississippi River. And some of y'all remember how that I made the statement. I said, now everything is taking place like I understand it. And I said, now Lord, if there just come an earthquake, that would do it. And an earthquake come, and coincidental, or ever how it would be, it was affected or felt the effects of it in 22 different states. It hit the Mississippi River, shook Olive Branch, and turned the course of the waters of the great Mississippi. It did it. It did it. Now, in this third dimensional aspect of it, we've got the eastern part of the United States reaching to the Mississippi River. Then we got from the Mississippi River over to the Great Rocky Mountains, which is called the Great Divide. And then from the Great Divide all the way over to the Great Pacific Ocean. That from the Pacific over to the Rockies is a symbol of the first dimensional move. Brother Branham, how many believe that Brother Branham was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea? He was a perfect Christ in the earth at the time. You believe that? You say, Brother Pike, how do you get there? Because when the denominational powers rejected him and his ministry had been crucified by his brethren, they threw him into the pit. What happened? The rich man picked him up in that full gospel businessman, the only thing that he ever joined that I ever know of. And they took him right there in the full gospel businessman. That's right. And right there, I made the statement and I still hold to it. The word Baal means God of the flesh, and in the days of Jezebel, which we know to be a symbol of the Catholic Church, and we have a symbol of the Antichrist, in that day, Elijah met those people face to face with the God of the flesh, which was a Trinitarian God. He met him and preached the message, if the Lord be God, then the fire come from heaven. Brother Branham met him in the full gospel businessman, which of course is really, our origin is really in California among the mountains, right there, and called their hand on a real, true, living, supernatural God, saying that there will be a pillar of fire that will come to this and come down, if the Lord be God, if the message is right. And he killed the prophets of Baal. I made this statement. I said, when Brother Branham leaves, the revival will die. I said, because it's the revival that come up, it is a revival in the veil. And the sap goes back down in the tree when the winter time comes. And I said, he'd go back down to a certain time and come back up. And I said, it will die. And just when Brother Branham went out, we had predicted that Brother Roberts would fall away in his old age and the A.I. would take sick and die. Now, it happened just like the Lord said. When Brother Branham died, the revival was over. Look at Brother T.L. Osborne, a great man of God, done a great work. Look at his hair, all grown out like a hippie. Look at that, this Leroy Jenkins, hair way down like a hippie. Look what happened to A. Allen, done a great work. But look at him, he died drinking. Look at old Roberts, done a great work at doing it in the Methodist Church. And started letting the people run tracks and shorts and bathing suits and everything else. It died. It died because the source of it was gone back to God. And it was to stay dead for a period of time, because in Elijah's drought, it was to stay dead until Elijah called for rain. That's why I said it went into Brother Junior Jackson. Brother Junior Jackson was called a dreamer. And Brother Bannon's message subconsciously went into the state of death, which is in the heart of the earth, Jesus Christ, in the heart of the earth. And then it went through Junior Jackson, the dreamer, the stage of the dreaming. And then it was to be resurrected. And it was to come back up. And I told the brother that me, I said, now what? There's time for a moving. It's fixing to break out. I said, ain't nobody going to stop it. Ain't nobody going to start it. I said, it's just going to be God. I said, everything has been dead. And the skin worm was about to work in the body. You can go to Brother Bannon's followers or the Church of God or anywhere else where the church, where the Spirit had been moving. And what do you find? You find the skin worms almost working in the body. The evil spirits getting into the church and working in the body, almost ready to see corruption. You find the same great Samsons bound at the mill grinding like Brother T.L. Lowry, Brother Osmond, and the great champions of justice that played around with the world or Delilah so much so they got bound, cut the glory off or the spiritual moving, Brother Steve. And now they're grinding for the denominational powers. T.L. Lowry is pastoring the Church of God headquarters. Is that right? About $1 million church. Earl Roberts, and what is Earl Roberts doing? He joined the Methodist Church. He's laboring for the Methodist Church. Is that right? And some of the others are laboring for fame and popularity in their own private kingdoms. Why? Because the revival was over until the time of the rain to come. Brother Branham said the latter rain would come. The Bible said God would make bright clouds.
Amen.
I'm glad we got some bright clouds around. Yes. He would return in the clouds of His glory. The Bible said He would, to be glorified in His saints. And Brother Branham said the last rain would be a teaching rain. And the vision that we saw, the long dresses that had to do with the rain that we spoke of. Now, this was to happen. And I said, now is the time, when we got over here and set this little tent up and we explained what was happening. Then I said, now is the time something is going to break out. I went over to the Carolinas, and the ones that had received, been contrary to me, received me with open arms. Ones that mistreated us, apologized for their wrongs. And I went over to the Carolinas, and I heard a fella get up under a tent and testify. And the Lord was moving. Later, I talked to this man, talked to some of the others, and Brother Fulcher, who has a great place over in Virginia, there in Brother Fulcher's church, a meeting broke out. There in this other man's church, a meeting broke out. This man said, something has broke out, people. He said, something has happened. Said, Brother Fulcher, call me. And said, I hear that people are shouting and praising God over at your place. Said, are you letting people do that over there? He said, no, I'm not letting them do it. Said, they're doing it anyway, whether I want them to or not. Brother Fulcher said, that's strange, but said, they're doing the same thing at my place. And he couldn't do nothing about it either. When God goes to move or work, He'll let it. He don't have to ask permission. He don't have to ask me. He just do what He wants to. What I'm saying is this. Antichrist is going to come over here. Now, there's a lot of things that we need to say along the subject of finishing up that. But Antichrist is coming over here. Now, this is the third dimensional projecting of it right here, the United States. We took this little clerk the other night, and we broke it down, the holies of holies, and showed it here, the Ark of the Covenant, behind the veil, the seven candlesticks over here on the left, and the shewbread over here. The shewbread being six to a stack, 12 of them, showing the apostolic food that God gave in the Pentecostal revival, and the seven church ages by the candlesticks right here, and also the seven messengers that was represented, the seven lights and the seven spirits before the throne of God, right here. Then the altar of incense we took and showed how by the altar of incense right here, how that God would send Aaron in there, and we've got it on tape where it's broke down to where we can understand it, right here, would take the altar of incense and take the perfume that they put together, that we've got broke down somewhere into the way it was put together, forbidden anybody to make it, and he would take it and pour it out on the little altar, and the great smoke of the symbol of the Holy Ghost would come up in rapture him, and with his beautiful garments and the little golden bells of a joyful noise unto the Lord, he would go right into the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, which Ark was made as a symbol from the days of Noah when they were saved by an Ark and Moses saved in the bulrush, or Ark. So then symbolize it, and we said the cherubs overhead touching each other with their wings with the lovely colors was a symbol of the rainbow over the throne in the book of Revelation. Then we said the lava here is symbolized in the book of Revelation by the sea of glass, symbolizing the water baptism, and then the brazen altar was to show Calvary where the lamb was offered up, blood and fire being one the same in the symbol. Right there at the brazen altar. And then we spoke of the veil being rent twain, which was the physical veil, whereas this was the natural veil. But in the second dimension, the physical veil. And in the third dimension, which is our day, is the spiritual rending of the veil. And of course, that takes a little more talk. But now, this is a type right here. And Brother Taylor carefully pointed out Jordan right here. Jordan right here at the lava. Now, of course, we have to go in this again where we put it on tape. I mean, we can't do that. But what I wanted to do was get to a little bit of this right over here. A little bit of this right over here. So then, I would like for us to consider this right here. And there's so much more to be said that I'll try to say it tonight if I get a chance to talk. And try to bring out something about the third dimension. Now, but what I'm saying is there is a lot to be said. Jesus got a lot to tell me, but I'm dull of hearing. And there's a lot to be said. And these fragments, of course, makes it jumble up because we don't follow a perfect continuity of each branch and each thing that's carried on. But if you get every bit of it together, it's just as clear as the noonday sun. Folks, you say, Brother Pike, what does this mean to us? It means one thing. It's a matter of life and death. That's all, to your soul. That's all. You say, well, I can't believe it. Well, I can't make you, but I love you just as much as if you did. But I'll tell you one thing. It's like Brother J.T. Parnell saw vision. He didn't understand it. He said when the waters came down out of the mountain, they swept down through a valley, and then they went up. And said, the Lord said they missed it. And then said, here come the water down again. So they said, the voice said, if they miss it this time, that's it. Now, I believe with all my heart, God told the prophet, said, dig some ditches and I'll put the water in it. Hallelujah. I believe with all my heart there'd been some ditches dug. When Elijah got them dug, well, they put in the ditch, they put the water in. And I believe that the water's coming down. I believe it's come down one time and they missed it. You say, how do you get that? Because the Jews missed it. But the second time it comes down, and I believe that this is the second time, because water-filled ditches comes from rain. And when the latter rain comes down this time, if the former rain, they missed it, but the latter rain, if they miss it, that's going to be the end of it. Well, you say, well, I'm too smart for that. Well, that's all right. That's all right. Satan outsmarted himself. Esau outsmarted himself. And with a story of not smart yourself. But I tell you, in a humble, simple, like country boy way, this is, thus saith the Lord. And it's absolutely coming to pass. Every day of the year, it's coming to pass. And this is it right here. Now, and the only thing that I can do is get in and do my little part. And all you can do is get in and do your little part. And I believe with all my heart that we're at the end of the trail. Tonight, if God will help me, I'd like to say a little bit about this. We still haven't got to it. Still haven't got to it. Maybe refresh your minds just a little bit with this 4, 2, and 1. And then, after that, we'll try to get into this we got here, if we can. Let's everybody stand together. I appreciate your kind attention. And I didn't mean to worry your patience as long as I did and take as long as I did. But it's just so much to say till I just don't hardly see how you're going to be able to say it in such a short time. I know what it is and I see it, and it's in my heart and mind. And God has given me some means of expression for it, but the time would fail me, Paul said, to be able to tell it.